Hello and welcome to the 15th episode of the Foreign Podcast. My name is Mike Bowden and I am from the country with the ever decreasing popularity and prestige, Pat, London, and London, England, obviously, sorry. London isn't a country, even though it kind of sometimes feels like one. And I'm recording this on Sunday, the 28th of April in Odense in Denmark.
Nice. And I am Patrick Garrett, and I am also recording this on the 28th of April, but I'm in Montpellier live. In the south of France.
In the south. And you're also from England.
I was born in Great England, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was born in Nottingham, but now I am not there. I've been in France for nearly 15 years.
Wow.
Yeah. There we go.
I'm coming up for my 24th year or something, I think. No, 1999, 25th year.
My God.
Yeah, which is unbelievable.
That is unbelievable.
I hope our listener noticed the alliteration there with the ever-decreasing popularity and prestige, Pat.
You see? Nice. I like that.
I just had to underline that in case it went sort of... in case it gets cut out in the intro. But this week... Pat, we have decided to talk about what we kind of miss and don't miss. I get asked a lot by people.
Really? Like,
you know, are you ever going to go back? Don't be so stupid. No, and, you know, is there anything you miss about England? Okay. And I thought, you know, I'd say some things that I missed.
Okay.
Maybe just a couple of things that you know I don't miss, and I'm sure you'll do the same.
I can do that.
Like, you, I do, you can I, actually. I, actually do it. I was in doubt if there was anything at all that you missed about the UK.
I do get asked like periodically, like especially when I meet people, kind of when I sort of know people. When I first know people, they do have a sort of like tendency to ask me, but it's normally a pretty short conversation, to be honest.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought this pod's gonna last about 10 minutes.
Do you want to go first?
Yeah, if you like. Well, I can start with one. And
go on.
And it's gonna. I mean, it's a bit ranty, but most of these things are a bit ranty because. And I don't want our Danish listener to feel kind of, you know, if you don't like it, go back home, mate, sort of thing. But one thing I miss is the choice. I mean, you probably don't have this living in, you know, Montpellier in France, but
yeah.
The choice of food at the supermarket.
Okay. Oh, really?
It's like everybody eats the same things.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm a little bit of a foodie, you know, which is a sort of a pseudonym for wanker. But, you know, I find all these recipes on Instagram reels and by Jamie Oliver books and stuff. And he'll say, like, you know, I'll just give an example, you know. This recipe needs dark soy sauce and light soy.
Mm-hmm.
I can't find light soy sauce anywhere. I have to sort of like drive to like three different supermarkets and then I can't get it there.
Okay.
And then there's a kind of a sort of, you'll have to cut that bit, Pat. There's a kind That's of a okay. sort of an Asian market that I'd maybe have to drive 10 minutes to and they might have it. But it's like every single time, I just get a recipe. I have to shop around for ages unless it's kind of like your sort of
bog standard food.
Food, basil, coriander. It's only over the last about 3 or 4 years I could like find fresh coriander in the shops. You know, it's you know, or just making a curry, which is, you know, which is kind of what we English do.
Yeah.
And you know, all you need is a couple of teaspoons of chicken tikka masala paste or something. Can I get that anywhere? No, I can't. You know, it's really kind of annoying every time I want to try something out. I'll go to this Asian market thing, but that's more of a kind of a wholesale shop.
Okay.
So like I'll end up buying, I think I wanted to make some naan bread. I've forgotten the name of these black sort of little seeds in it now, but I ended up having to buy like a kilo of them to use like one tablespoon,
right?
You know, and So that's just something. But I understand why, you know, Denmark is a small country and, you know,
surely if you were in Copenhagen, for example, yeah, that, surely it would be a bit easier.
Yeah, I think it would be easier, but it would still be because of the fact that there would be more sort of, there'd be shops that were, or supermarkets that were sort of privately owned by the locals, which would have a different nationality in Danish. But I don't think, I think if I still went to like the major supermarkets, they wouldn't have them. Yeah, you'd still have to sort of go kind of off the beaten track to get it. Because, you know, it's very much a sort of a pork driven country over here. pork and potatoes. And if you're going to have something a little bit sort of colourful, you can sort of buy, like, you know, taco powder and wraps and stuff like that.
Okay.
But just the, so the choice of food, I mean, you go back in, it's a London, you know, and Sainsbury's or Tesco's have just got absolutely, it's got everything, it's got all of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I do understand the concept of supply and demand, but it kind of makes me shake my fist a bit, the Danes, you know, eat something else. Demand these things.
We don't. I genuinely don't have that problem here at all. Like, we can get pretty much anything. Like, we don't. I mean, Montpellier is a pretty big city. I mean, it's got like, I mean, it's like a sort of like nationally famous city kind of thing. It's on the news all the time. You know, it's one of the biggest cities in the south of France. So, we've got a couple of Asian supermarkets, which are like really well stocked. Come here, Mike. It's like, all the food you need.
It's pretty like 30 good. Degrees, it's pretty good 30 for degrees that, and everything you want.
So yeah, we don't really have that problem. Like, it's pretty good for food, and most of the supermarkets you can buy like most stuff. You know, it's not, I never really saw like want for stuff. We can buy, like, my daughter's like very into sort of like Asian food, and we can buy pretty much anything. So like that is one pretty cool thing about being here. But one thing I do miss, talking about food, I do miss curry. It was the one thing that, like, I really, when I sat down and like really thought about it, I was just like, that I still miss that even now, is going for a curry. And it's just something that, like, French cuisine, like, I mean, it's a colonial thing, right?
What do they know about food?
So you got like chili just doesn't really feature in French food at all.
Okay.
So I'm always, when I have to go back to Britain, I'm always like really astonished when I go to supermarkets and I see just these massive ranges of like chili sauces, and do you know what I mean? And we just can't get that here at all, which is like pretty annoying. We can get like fresh chili and stuff, but in terms of, you know, going for a curry and having that type of meal that you can get in sort of like Manchester and Liverpool and London and Birmingham or whatever, it just doesn't exist here at all. So I miss that. That's my one concession, Mike, to actually missing something about Britain.
Yeah, and
I do miss that, yeah.
And even though there are, I mean, curry is becoming more popular here. There are a few curry houses in Odense. But yeah, there is, it's just nothing like it is back home.
No.
And I really try and sort of make curries and get curry recipes. And the kids love curry as well. But as I said, it's just so, there was something that there was a really nice kind of lentil curry. And one of the ingredients was curry leaves. Like, I couldn't get that anywhere.
You just can't get them. I wouldn't be able to buy those here, to be honest. Like, I can get, like, all of the, yeah, like South Asian stuff. We just can't get it here at all. Like, about, I mean, it's all of the, when I say like Asian, I mean like, you know, East Asian, basically. So like Japanese, Korean, Chinese.
Okay, right.
It's
yeah.
like, actual sort of like Indian type food. It's there are a couple of Indian restaurants, but they're pretty bad. Like, if you ever listen to this and you own one of the Indian restaurants in Montpellier, like, please don't sue me. And yeah, like, make some better food. Like, the food's all right, you know what I mean? But it's not. It's just not. Like, my mum and dad are both, my dad was from Birmingham, and my mum is as well. And like some of the Birmingham curry houses are just like the some of the best food I've ever had. And like, you know, like when Dad used to take me to Manchester, because we were down the road, I grew up near Manchester, so he used to take me to, there's a road in Manchester called the Curry Mile.
Yeah.
And
I've never been there.
You know, you're not you can't fault the curry on the Curry Mile, Mike. Do you know what I mean? It's pretty good curry, I'm not going to lie to you. So like,
it's the same as a Brick Lane in Liverpool Street.
Yeah, that's it. Like
in
I've had, I've had some pretty good meals on Brick Lane. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So that I do miss that. I do miss that. That's the one thing I do miss. Is there something you don't miss about Britain, Mike?
Oh wow, you've already thrown that back at me.
Is there anything else you miss?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like, well, not loads.
Go on, let's go.
There's a couple more. The other one is pubs.
Oh man,
and pub culture. And it's not so much. I mean, I know, you know, there are, and here's one for the Urban Dictionary crowd. You know, there are loads of pokey dives in. You know, you're gonna have to.
Your Danish listener is sitting there sweating now.
That's it. You have to. Yeah, urbandictionary.com. A pokey dive, but what I miss about it is the. I suppose also maybe because of the fact that I'm single, but even when I was in a relationship, I did it. And when I lived in London, the immediacy of just there's a pub close by. Yep. And if you're not doing much, you can just go down there. There might be football on. You just have like one pint at the bar or whatever. Mm-hmm. You get out for a bit, come home. It doesn't have to be sort of going drinking. And if you live in an area, you get to see the same sort of people down there and... Mm. Sort of chit chat and everything, and Denmark is not, and Danes aren't really like that. You know, if there's something close to me called the Tarbsender, which is it's basically where all kind of culture goes to die, and it's just this sort of like shopping centre. And there's something in there called...
Have I been there with you? Did you take me there?
Yeah, I think I've been in there.
Okay.
Yeah, you've been in there.
Yeah, right.
No, we didn't go for a beer. No. We went for a beer in Ryan's. That was in town.
Oh, okay.
There's a place called the Tarbsender, a little shopping centre, and there's something in there called the Centre Pub. And almost all of these kind of little shopping centres in these sort of suburbs have these little sort of centre pubs, but they're more kind of like for real hardcore drinkers.
Okay.
And so there's no sort of just... pop in the pub, and you're kind of maybe seen as a bit of a social degenerate if you kind of go to these centre pubs. So there's no. So for me, if I just sort of want to go out for a beer, I'd have to go into town, which is like, you know, maybe 20, 25 minutes on the bike or something. Mm. And there's just not that. And again, because a lot of it is for tourism or maybe for going out on the weekend, there isn't that sort of local sort of community sort of atmosphere to it.
Okay.
I mean, I would, if there was a pub close by, you know, even though I've got the football at home, I would probably just go down the pub for a couple of hours and maybe even just buy a couple of Cokes and just watch the football and then come home again and say hi to the owner and whatever. But there just isn't that sort of culture here. And I do miss that. And I still miss it. It would be great. If there was, but as I said, every pub that opens in Odense or maybe in Denmark is a kind of a theme, and it's a real big place, and it's sort of touristy, you know, the old Irish pub or, you know, the British Bulldog sort of thing.
There are Irish pubs in Montpellier, but like the, it's not the same as, but the thing is though, like to be honest, like the pubs in Britain now are really got like the, you know, very unlike the pubs that I knew when I was like younger anyway. I mean, I don't drink anymore. I haven't had a drink for like 20 years. So I don't miss the drinking, but like I do in a way, like, you know, I do kind of like sometimes think about, you know, what it was like to just go down the pub. Do you know what I mean? It's just, I don't really do that anymore. Obviously. I mean, like sometimes I go to, you know, I'll go and have a Coke or whatever, but like, it's you know, it's very, yeah, really, really different. Like, yeah, nothing like, you know, what it was in Britain. I mean, God, even in our village at home, like I grew up in Rosset in North Wales, and I mean, there was just, I mean, there, God, there were at least sort of 5 or 6 pubs in the village, and it was like tiny. Do you know what I mean? It was just pubs everywhere. Like, you know, I mean, it's the same now, but everywhere's a bit of a restaurant sort of thing. But like, there's no, I mean, it's more of a sort of like cafe culture. There are bars in town and stuff like that, but it's not like that sort of pub thing. It's a bit of a sort of, it's a bit of a trend in Montpellier. You know, you can go for a pint.
Yeah.
And, you know, you do have Irish pubs. We've got a couple of, like, pretty big Irish pubs in Montpellier. But, yeah, I don't know. It's not the same at all as it was in Britain at all now.
Yeah, and there's, I mean, most people will probably know this, but, you know, as I'm a man, I'll mansplain it to everybody. Because a pub is short for, like, obviously public house. And the idea of that is that, in a way, you are in the landlord's living room type thing. You know, he has opened up his house so that you can come in. And there are still some pubs, especially ones local, maybe not obviously in the centre of London, but in the suburbs, where there is that kind of atmosphere where everyone kind of knows each other. Everyone respects that they're in this guy's sort of living room type atmosphere. And I do miss that. I do.
That's fair, Mike. That's fair. I don't think there's anything wrong with missing that, really.
So apart from the curry, is there anything else you miss, Pet?
Literally nothing.
Literally nothing.
No, that's not actually true. I had a proper think about it before. And I kind of miss, like, because I grew up in North Wales and I kind of miss that landscape. And like, it doesn't exist because it, like, obviously I didn't really kind of really quite appreciate this when I was younger. But obviously, like, the British Isles are actually in the North Atlantic. And like, I didn't really realize that. So you do get like a pretty rugged landscape, especially in like North Wales. Miss is probably a bit too strong a word. But like, I really did like Snowdonia and that landscape, which is like pretty sparse and like quite, I don't know, have you ever been to, like, I've been to Iceland and it's kind of that type of thing. Okay. That's all, like, you know, it's quite, you do have like sort of like low mountain ranges in France, but you don't get the, they're not quite as rugged. They tend to be like covered in sort of like pine forests and stuff like that. I don't know if you've ever been to Snowdonia or to Scotland or anything.
I've been to Lake District and I've been to Scotland.
That type of environment. Like, you just don't get that in France, basically. So, but that is it. Like, I don't, like, I, you know, I really did rack my brains. And, like, you know, I sort of sat there with my daughter and we sort of had a bit of a think about it. And it's just like, seriously, there's very little that I can honestly say that I really miss about Britain. I'm going back there for three weeks in the summer. We're going back to see our families, and which is like really nice and all, but like, to be honest, honestly, like, it's there's nothing there for me, Mike. You know what I mean?
There's nothing there for you at all.
No, there's a bunch of stuff I don't miss about Britain,
and I'm sure, and we'll get onto that just in a second. The other thing that I miss is the sort of everyday slang and the everyday, the sort of the vernacular. I heard something the other day. I was watching The Gentleman on Netflix, which is sort of a Guy Ritchie type sort of series. Okay. Well, not type, it is by Guy Ritchie. And it was Ray Winston, the English actor, and he was talking about someone who wasn't very clever, and he just said, "Yeah, he doesn't have a lot of bandwidth, you know." And it was just, and it's just that sort of, and there's always just like new phrases for calling people names, basically, and it's sort of constantly evolving. And I think also the idea that, especially in London, I mean, I can't obviously talk for Britain, but there seems to be this sort of the slang and the phrases for things have this kind of sort of real cynical kind of leaning towards them. Like, you know, life is shit, but, you know, we all have to get on with it. Yep. And so we might as well just laugh at it. Mm-hmm. And that really kind of comes across in a lot of the phrases and a lot of the sort of everyday slang. Mm. And a lot of it is really sort of quite sort of funny, really.
I sort of miss
That sort of edge there is sometimes to sort of British slang and British language. And I mean, you could sort of say that in Danish, in Denmark, you know. I mean, if it was someone said "Han har ikke brødbånd nok til det" or something, you know, I think people would smile, but it wouldn't really sort of catch on But I think it's sort of been written because people say it rather than, you know, rather than writing it as And I think, and especially because of a lot of the cultural diversity, especially in London, there are so many different phrases and slang terms all the time. The sort of that kind of being thought up and I sort of hear through various media, and it can make me sort of think, you know, it'd be nice to have that around me more as a part of my everyday life rather than something I sort of see on TV. Or my brother sometimes will write something to me and I'll just burst out laughing. And, you know, and it's just because, that's sort of what people say now. So, but nothing like that sort of, you don't...
No, like, I don't know, like, I mean, to be honest, like, French is pretty sarcastic. It's pretty, French is pretty edgy. I mean, in French, there's a specifically... Arabic slang, and I for the life of me I can't actually remember the bloody name of it now, and you switch all the words to so that they're kind of back to front. So it's effectively like a massive middle finger to the French language sort of thing, and it's like speaking in French is generally like, you know, can be like pretty funny. You're speaking like sort of colloquial French, there's a lot of slang. And I'm not sure it's quite as sarcastic as English, actually. Thinking about it, like, English is pretty sarcastic. But, I mean, like, you know, oftentimes, like, I speak with, sort of, like, my old friends in, like, Wrexham or whatever, and, like, if any French person I knew were privy to that conversation, they would not have a clue what we were talking about. Not a clue, you know what I mean? But I don't know if I miss it, really. I don't know. Like, I mean...
It kind of makes you feel a bit out of touch, I suppose.
I know what you mean, yeah.
When my brother maybe says something or something like that, it kind of, you know...
Never heard it before.
Yeah, I never heard that before. I'd have to sort of work out what it means, and I'll start laughing, and I just sort of think, you know, you sort of feel like you're sort of losing something. And but I mean, the Danes also are very sarcastic, and their humour is very dry. I mean, it is very similar to English, but it's not really the humour. Again, it's the slang, how that sort of translates into new phrases, into new words. And I'm sure in downtown on the streets, Copenhagen, there is a kind of a vernacular. But as I live in a sort of a province town, I just don't sort of pick it up. And I can kind of miss that, I think.
What don't you miss? Let's go. Come on.
What don't I miss? Well, coming from London is the bloody London Underground, Pat. I do not miss. Like when I go back to London, and obviously go on the Underground and not living there anymore, it's just unbelievable how... Like when I lived there and commuted every day for the suburb into London, I just didn't think about it. But just the amount of noise is so noisy.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, it's a capital city. There's just so many people. Many people. And it's filthy as well. Like the trains and everything is just so dirty. And it's just...
I don't miss London. I tell you that. I lived there for like 10 years or whatever, and I'm traveling around London, just moving around London was just the worst. It was like it was good at first, you know, when I was young, it was exciting and all, but I don't miss that. Like I had like proper mental Tourette's at the end, you know what I mean?
I mean it's
just
horrible,
like, get out of my way, do you know what I mean? It was horrible. I had to go.
I've actually had a sort of a minor panic attack on the
train. Yeah, I'm not surprised. I had a panic attack on the tube once.
Yeah, so did I. Yeah. I had to get off at Liverpool Street and just run outside and just sort of breathe and just sort of calm myself down and then just sort of go down to the tube again and get the rest of the stops home. But that was only once. But yeah, I mean, I remember as well. I used to, like you said, it used to be exciting. And I used to sort of get my sort of travel head on, where I knew where I was going. I knew sort of all the sort of little shortcuts. I even knew what carriages of the train I'd get on. So as soon as I got out, I was right by the sort of exit, you know, so I didn't have to walk along the platform. And it, there was a sort of a skill to it. It's almost like subway surfing type thing. Yep. But now when I go back, I hate it.
It's horrible.
Yeah, so it's miss that.
Fed is like the metro in Paris is probably is better. There are fewer people basically, but like there are no escalators or hardly any. Like it's honestly it's baffling. Like I mean it's just so old basically. So I mean like the tube is actually better than the metro because like it's you can actually get across it like far easier. The metro in Paris is a fucking nightmare. Like in terms of like if you've got luggage and stuff like that, you know what I mean? It's really horrible.
So you literally have to lug it up and downstairs.
Yeah. You've literally got to carry it. And I mean, there are sort of like escalators in some stations, but nothing like the tube in London. But there are nowhere near as many people. But yeah, like London, full stop. I don't miss that at all. Like you know, in the end, I really had to go. It's quite cool like to go back there. You know what I mean? There's a lot of great stuff to visit. And you know, but yeah, bloody hell, that's a busy ass city. I don't miss the weather, Mike. I don't miss that.
Ah.
That sucks. And like, you know, basically because of where I lived, I mean, it hasn't been amazing this year. I think we're starting to see the Gulf Stream collapse or something. It's been pretty cold and windy. But yeah, like normally the weather down here is really amazing. I mean, like Montpellier is in a part of the coast, which is... we have the Mediterranean climate basically, so like it's we have Montpellier has more sunny days than any other city in France, Mike, and that's pretty cool. Do you know what I mean? I quite like that. You know, life can be pretty bad, but like when you go outside and the sun's shining, that can make up for a lot.
Yeah,
so like going to Britain is just I don't know. I find it quite difficult. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes it's just so grey all the time. Do you know what I mean? Pretty much. It's just if the sun comes out, it's just like, woo, amazing. Do you know what I mean?
That's pretty much. You're just describing like Denmark, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, it's just rained, I think, every single day this year or something. And we've just today, we've had sunshine, not all day, just now. Clouded over, but we've sort of pushed 18 degrees.
Okay.
And this is like the first day, I think, probably since like August, we've had like sunshine and 18 degrees. So, you know, go fuck yourself. I mean, I can understand it. But there's also something about, you know, obviously Denmark, there's a lot of wide open space and stuff. There is something about a sort of cold, grey, wet city.
No, I get it. Yeah.
And like, a cold, way, grey, wet sort of Denmark.
It's like when I go to Paris, it's just like, you know, sometimes it can be, the weather there can be bloody atrocious. You know what I mean? It's right up north. But Paris is Paris. Like sometimes it's amazing. You go there in like winter and you know, it can be raining and snowing and blah, blah, blah. But it just looks awesome. Do you know what I mean? It's just a great experience. But like drizzle and grayness, do you know what I mean? For like all the time, it's just like something that I really don't miss. You know, it's just like there is kind of a charm to it. Like I said, if you go up Snowdonia or whatever, and so you know, it can be really dramatic. You know, a lot of cloud and rain and you know, whatever. But you can fucking keep it, Mike. To be honest, like you can you can keep your clouds and your rain. I'm happier on the beach. To be honest, it's pretty like. I mean, it's a bit of a double-edged sword down here, and a lot of people don't like it, really don't, because like we do get in the middle of summer, and it's properly, we'll get at least a period of sort of like 40 plus, okay. And a lot of people really don't like it. You know, we get like red alerts and stuff, and, you know, people die, and, you know, we get like water warnings and, you know, that type of thing. We get a lot of flooding here as well, because it's generally so hot down here, you know, the ground isn't sort of porous enough. So like basically when it really rains, you get like all the water like stays on top of the soil and like flows off and we get a lot of problems with flooding.
But you best get out there, mate. Sounds like
As far as I'm concerned though, it's fine. You flood away. Do you know what I mean? As long as the rest of the time it's like 30 plus, that's all good to me. What else don't I miss?
I've got a couple.
There's so much. We don't have time, Mike. Do you know what I mean? I could go on all day.
Well, I chose three that I missed and three that I didn't.
Go on, let's have another one. Go on.
So, one of the things I don't miss is, again, as I'm from London, I can only really talk from that perspective, is the abject poverty. I don't miss seeing people.
Really poor people.
Yeah, or I mean, you know, that sounds really snobby, you know, all poor people. Oh, no, thank you. But like, I remember walking down a couple of years ago, I went to see Spurs, Tottenham play football, and you have to walk along Tottenham High Road, and there were just so many boarded up shops flats above shops boarded up, and obviously people sort of sitting on the streets, mm-hmm. and anywhere you go, pretty much in the centre of town, you're met with people, someone just sleeping in some sort of a doorway mm-hmm. on like Oxford mm-hmm. Street mm-hmm. In with a sleeping bag and a cardboard box, and that can really be quite sort of depressing. Without getting too political, I suppose, which deviates from the norm for this show. I understand, you know, the whole there's a whole debate about it, but you judge a country on how it treats its weakest.
That is true.
And to have people sleeping on the streets and it doesn't just have to, as I said earlier, you know, just walking down high streets and shops boarded up and the whole place is just run down, and then you kind of I'm a football fan, and that's fine, we don't have to talk football, but Tottenham built a brand new stadium, and the stadium is absolutely amazing.
Space Age. I saw it the other day.
It's absolutely incredible. I've been there now three or four times, but it's just this sort of super futuristic Space Age $1 billion stadium. But on the way to it, you're just going past people who have like quite literally nothing or just sort of scraping a living. And So I suppose maybe it's not so much the abject, but obviously it is the abject poverty, but it's in London, that sort of divide of rich and poor.
Inequality.
They're just so close to one another. You can turn a corner and you've got like $5 million house. Turn another corner and there's high-rise tower blocks with like burnt out cars. And I really don't miss that. It actually quite literally upsets me when I see it, around.
When I go back and see my mum, for example, I grew up near Wrexham, and Wrexham now is just an absolute disaster. It's horrible. There's just so many homeless people and stuff like that. I mean, it's really like deteriorated like really badly since I was there kind of thing. But to be honest, like France isn't much better. I mean, like Montpellier, especially like the south of France, I mean, there's a lot of poverty down here. Like, and it's really well documented, especially like in Marseille is like the classic example of it. Cartier, like some of the parts in Marseille are really, really rough. I mean, like, you're very poor. And some of the places in Montpellier, we live in a sort of like massive housing project, or we live near, like right next to one, basically. I mean, we live in a really nice sort of like neighborhood. It's all good. But like, there are a lot of people here that really don't have much. Do you know what I mean? There are other places in Montpellier where, you know, a lot of homeless people, like you said, burnt out cars, a lot of rubbish. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, I don't miss that about Britain, and I, to be honest, I wish they saw it out in France. I think it's like, you know, there are a lot of like similarities, politically between sort of like French and British culture.
Yeah,
you know, like very sort of like extremely nationalistic and
libertarian, very, conservative sort of.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, really capitalistic, and you know, it's I don't know. Yeah, I don't like that at all. I certainly don't miss it in Britain, but like the. The last time I went to Wrexham, I was really shocked, really, really shocked at what happened to it. Do you know what I mean? So many businesses that were just closed.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's been a lot of hoo-ha about it in France, because like basically, There's a massive stripe across the middle of France, which is basically emptied over the last sort of like 20 years, because like everyone's kind of like moved out of the country and into the city, sort of thing. And now like all of these sort of like towns that used to be, you know, there was a very much a sort of like peasant way of life in France.
Yeah.
Like before the war kind of thing. And, you know, like basically, you know,
similar to Denmark.
Yeah, looking after cows and sheep, yeah, and, you know, farming basically, you know, so like local farming. And it's just been destroyed basically by money pretty much, you know, and now you have these kind of like ghost towns, but effectively, I mean, they're not. I mean, there's still people there, but like a lot of like businesses like really struggling and, you know, so forth. So yeah, I know exactly what you mean. It's not the best thing in the world to see, do you know what I mean? It's not very nice. So yeah. I don't miss that either, Mike.
And my last one, Pat,
Let's go.
To finish off is I'm just shocked every time I go over by the celebrity culture there is in the UK. It like baffles me that like, everything is just has to have some sort of famous person or semi-famous person, or not even really that famous person. Mm. He's like famous because, I don't know, because they're like on a reality TV, you know, people on reality TV are famous. Yeah. People with no talent are famous. People with talent are famous.
Everyone's famous.
Famous. And television is just full of game shows with famous people. A famous person going around looking at something. A famous person trying to make dinner. A famous person alone in a jungle. A famous person. And it's just this, it's just, and everything is just, it seems like mainstream media, at least, obviously, it's just about famous people's lives. And I think it probably started, maybe it's always been there and I'm just now old and cynical and notice it more. But I think, you know, I think maybe it started in the 90s, that whole kind of celebrity culture, the lad culture. There was Britpop, the Spice Girls. And I think just, and, you know, then Robbie Williams came along. And then maybe, I think, you know, it seems to me just has got worse and worse and worse. Because at least these people had some sort of, you know, everything's debatable, but they had some kind of talent. But now it just seems to be, you have to be good looking and be on a reality TV program. And even if you don't win it, if people like you, or if you just go around effing and blinding or doing something, you know, Channel 5 or some TV program will give you a contract.
Follow you with a camera.
I mean, it's, and yeah, it does just shock me how much celebrity culture. And again, Denmark has a much smaller pool of talent, obviously. And I don't think, you know, I think most Western societies have this sort of strong celebrity culture. But but in England, I mean, put it this way, in Denmark, we'll have, we obviously, you know, we, the Danes, obviously have X Factor. And but the winner of X Factor, you won't, you know, it's like they'll win and they'll do an album or something, and then that's it. You don't hear from them anymore. They don't become sort of like these megastars, even though you've got everyone in Denmark, you know, all the families sitting around on the Friday night watching X Factor, voting and all this stuff. But they just sort of don't sort of start to idolize them. They don't sort of have careers, really. I think there's like one person called Martin who like won maybe like 8 years ago, and he's now got his own kind of band or whatever. But there isn't, you know, it's just in England, there's also, you know, Britain's Got Talent. There's also Denmark's Got Talent. And then winner of that, they don't really go anywhere or do anything. But in the UK, it just seems like, yeah, they just become massively popular.
They go rent over. Britain is particularly bad for that. Like it's just like a little America, basically.
Yeah,
I think it's just, you know, very much sort of like that Anglophone fame culture. I mean, like, you know, again, like France does have it, but it's not as insane. Like nowhere near as crazy as it is when I go back to Britain. I do really notice it. Like you know, just how sort of fucking hell.
Gonna have superficial.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, really sort of like image focused.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You see like a lot of people like in the street look the same. Do you know what I mean? It's just like you don't really have that in France, like in the same way at all. Like, so yeah, I don't miss that either. You've thought some stuff that I definitely don't miss that I didn't even think about. Do you know what I mean?
But that's also spilled over, just to sort of wrap it up. And I think that is one of the problems with politics, is that, you know, politics has now been eaten by that culture, or politics has maybe tapped into that culture. So politics really now is about, I mean, you know,
that's
we
about
can laugh.
Being popular.
Yeah, I mean, we can laugh and whatever, but, you know, there is a reason Boris Johnson was Prime Minister. And it was because of his personality. And, you know, it really wasn't because he was any good at his job. You know,
at anything.
At anything whatsoever. But he was this affable, self-effacive, very intelligent, again, probably a great bloke down the pub, gets the rounds in, tells stories, really nice guy, and he gets voted to run the country, you know. But that's a different story. But yeah, that's something about that I really don't miss. Is there anything that you want to say that you
nothing I want to say, Mike.
There's nothing you want to say about it.
I don't, like, there's a lot I don't miss about it, like, really. I mean, like, the I don't miss the political culture at all. Like, I really don't miss it at all. Like, it's, you know, I mean, like, French political culture is pretty bad, but, like, it's not as, nowhere near as bad as Britain. And, like, yeah, like, to be honest, you know, I could fucking rant on all bloody night about it. And, like, I think I'm just gonna sort of, like, leave it as, you know, I'm glad I left, put it that way.
Yeah. So following on from this next time, we'll be talking about how moving away has affected perhaps maybe both positively and negatively our relationships with our family, because I think we could probably agree that something about England that we both miss is maybe our families. Yep. Maybe.
I should have said that, actually. It's probably the biggest thing I miss about like not being there, to be honest. But yeah, we'll talk about that next time.
Yeah, but I thought that was maybe a bit of a deeper, longer subject. So that might be, that's probably a podcast in and of itself.
I think so, yeah.
But I was also going to say, if there's anything the listeners, either if they are also immigrants or expatriates, is there anything that they miss about their home country? Or even if you're not, what do you think you would perhaps miss if you moved away from the current country you live in? You can obviously tell us or write to us at foreignpodcast@gmail.com.
Always at
foreignpodcast on Instagram. You can follow the Facebook page and write a comment on there. Just type in Foreign Podcast in Facebook, and we're there as well.
Splendid. Yeah. Send us your messages and we will shout you out.
Big time. Yeah.
And with that said, I think that's it for this week. And many thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.